Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are absolutely honored and delighted that you are here on behalf of Grace Christian Center, Port Ludlow Community Church, as well as Peace Lutheran. We are excited to spend this time together with you. Good Friday. It's an awfully unusual title for a very, very bad situation. But the ultimate desire and the ultimate goal, the ultimate conclusion from it all, is that it was a very, very good Friday. So we're glad you're here with us, and we're going to honor the Lord in our time together. Are you ready tonight?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for this joyous occasion, even though we understand the reality of what you went through, Jesus. We thank you for the joy of being able to gather together as congregations, as friends, as family in the Lord, as we honor you together. Now, we ask you to be lifted up and glorified in this place tonight through everything we think, do, and say. And Lord, that as we go from this place tonight, we will go with our hearts changed and moved, transformed, with greater understanding of you and all that you've done for us. We love you, Jesus, and we're here to tell you that. We love you, Jesus, and we are thankful for you. In Jesus' name, they all said.
Good evening. I'm Ron McClung, the pastor at Peace Lutheran Fellowship, and glad to be here among you, among fellow believers, and on this special time on the church's calendar where we remember what Christ did for us on the cross. He gave, didn't he? And so we're right up front going to take an offering to bless people in our area. Just while you're getting your wallet handy, and the ushers are getting ready to come up, I just want to mention, our church has worked with Backpacks for Kids for quite a while, and then just recently it has become its own nonprofit, and it's involving people from not only our church, but people in the community. And it's really going great. We lost Karen Jensen, who was one of the big reasons that we were able to do as much as we have done. And but she made sure that there was people in place before she passed away. And it's really amazing what she was able to do. We call it the Karen Ripple Effect. So it's still going. And, one of the stories that she would tell is about how there was a person in the grocery store, probably QFC, and they were buying a bunch of stuff for Backpacks for Kids. And what happened is the checker found out that that's what they were doing. It was from Backpacks for Kids. And she just started crying. She says, that saved my life. She said, my kids would bring it home, and what they didn't eat, I ate, and that was what I had to survive on. And now I have a job. So I'm very thankful, she said. But for a while there, it was really tough. We don't see, you would never know that person was food insecure or there was a problem. We don't really, it's not out in front, but in our county, there's a higher rate than normal of people that are food insecure that really need a little extra help. And so your giving means a lot. And they can take the money that you're giving tonight and can have a way of buying specially a lot of things that we can't buy at that price. So it can be multiplied many times over. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this offering, that people are giving up of their own sacrificing so that others might be helped because you helped us, Lord. And one day we never know when we're going to need that and somebody's going to reach down deep and help us. And so we're all in this together, brothers and sisters, and we're here to love our neighbor. And you showed us what it's all about on the cross. So thank you. Bless this money, multiply it, and meet needs in our county through the food bank. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good evening. My name is Brent Hershey. I am the pastor at Port Ludlow Community Church. I've been the pastor there for about 5 months. And so it's good to be here. And I had heard that I only have 2 minutes to speak. And I'll be reading a scripture about forgiveness. I'm planning on doing a 45-minute dissertation at this point in time. So, Luke 23:34 says this. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And as I looked at that, you know, I couldn't help but think that even while Jesus is on the cross, he's crying out to his Father and saying, "Forgive them. Forgive them for what they do." You know, all of us have struggled sometimes with forgiving one another, have we not? And, you know, sometimes over very petty things, like maybe somebody comes in that's new and sits in your chair, and you have to extend forgiveness to them. Or you're driving down the road and somebody does something, and or maybe you do something, and you get the dirty look, and that all happens to you. It's happened to every one of us. And I think that what we can learn from this, I mean, if Christ can forgive us while he's on the cross, how much more should we be able to forgive one another? Because that's what life's all about. I mean, you realize that Jesus had the power to just say, "This is it. I'm not gonna do this," you know. But yet he loves us so much. So the next time somebody offends you, next time somebody you don't agree with, remember this scripture. Remember what Jesus did for us. And we are very blessed. God bless you.
Today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. It's good to know I'm going to share something here. Okay. I thought that was a short line for me, and real short for a preacher, I understand that. But I'll never forget the day that I gave my heart to Jesus, and it was a new day in my life. It had turned me around, and the scriptures always meant so much to me. And it was this very interesting time. I didn't know that anything, that there was actually a church doctrine and that people believed different. I just thought everybody just read this Bible and believed like it was. And so I had some exciting times with relatives and everybody, you know. But I'm so glad for that day. And he tells me in the Word that I don't have a past. Everything that happened has no past. I never give a testimony because he's forgotten it. It's in the past. He'll remember him no more. So why should I remind everybody what it was? But what an awesome life. And I'm so glad that he went to the cross that day for me. Praise God.
John 19, verses 26 to 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. About 4.5 miles from the center of the magnificent ruins of ancient Ephesus, a medieval chapel was found that had been purposely built on older structures, including a building that originally dated to the first century. According to legends surrounding the site, it is where John brought Mary from Jerusalem about 37 AD. Though no sign says the Virgin Mary slept here, it is nonetheless believed to be the house of Mary. It should be noted that the Isle of Patmos, where John was imprisoned, is about 60 miles from Ephesus. Jesus is hanging on the cross. After the agony of Gethsemane and 6 illegal trials, where he was accused, questioned, mocked, intermittently beaten, and finally scourged in a manner which often left the victim to die. After this, it was declared that no fault could be found in him. He became the sacrificial Lamb of God. Racked with pain and aware that the sin of all mankind would soon be placed upon him, and aware, looking across the crowds, found his mother. He made provision for her, made provision for her care. Just as tonight, he looks out over this gathering, and to each of us offers the benefits of his sacrifice. Will you respond to him? Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I need you.
Yes, indeed.
Come into my life.
Amen. Amen.
Matthew 27, 46. About the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? These verses we just read is a conclusion of our Lord Jesus Christ's passion. After 6 hours of agonizing suffering, he became obedient even unto death and yielded up his ghost. First, there's remarkable words which Jesus uttered shortly before his death. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's a deep mystery here in these words, which no mortal man can fathom. No doubt that we are not wrung from our Lord by more mere bodily pain. Such an explanation is utterly unsatisfactory and dishonorable to our blessed Savior. They were meant to express the real presence on his soul for the enormous burden of the world's sin, yours and mine. And then he became the curse for us and endured God's righteous anger against the world's sin in his own person. At that awful moment, the iniquity of us all was laid on him in the uttermost. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him into that grief in Isaiah 53. He bore our sins. He carried our transgressions. Heavy must have been that burden. Real and literal must have been our Lord's substitution for us, where he, the eternal Son of God, could speak of himself as a time forsaken. Let the expression sink deep into our hearts and not be forgotten. We can have no stronger proof of our sinfulness of sin, of the glorious nature of God's suffering than his cry, my God, why has thou forsaken me? It is a cry that should steer us to hate sin and to encourage us to trust Christ. Let us hear now how much it contained in the words which describes our Lord's end. We are simply told he yielded up his ghost. There never was the last breath drawn of such deep importance as this. There never was an event which so much depended on that, on those words. The Roman soldiers and the gaping crowd around the cross saw nothing remarkable of what was going on. They only saw a person dying on, as others die, with all that usual agony and suffering which attended a crucifixion. But they knew nothing of the eternal interests which were involved in this whole transaction. That death discharged in the full the mighty debt which sinners owe to God, you and I. And there opened the door of life to every believer. That death satisfied the righteous claims of God, holy law, and enabled God to be just and yet at the same time merciful. The death was one more example of self-sacrifice, but a complete atonement and propitiation for man's sin, yours and mine, affecting the condition and prospect of all mankind. That death solved the hard problem of how God could be perfectly holy and yet perfectly justified or miraculous. It opened to the world a fountain of all sin and uncleanness. It was a complete victory over Satan and spoiled him openly. It's finished. The transgressions made an end of sin, made reconciliation for iniquity, and brought to everlasting righteousness. It proved that sinfulness of sin, when it needed such a sacrifice to atone for it, it proved that love of God and to sinners when he sent his only son to make that atonement. Right. Never, in fact, were there or could there ever be again such a death. No wonder that the earth quaked when Jesus died in our stead on that accursed tree. The solid frame of the world might well tremble and be amazed when the soul of Christ was made an offering for you and I. What it did for us at the cross. And we see our sins reflected here. The true death, the true power, the true seriousness of Jesus on the cross, abandoned by God himself so that he might bear all our pains of hell and endure all the wrath of God against our sins. Behold what your and my sin cost. That's Jesus. Right. So in finishing, he says, behold, marvel, and repent and believe in what he did on the cross.
How many of you recall reading the words in this time when Jesus was on the cross and he says, I thirst, or I'm thirsty, depending on what version? And I got thinking about that, you know, who were the people there that he was talking to? Of course, there were soldiers who crucified him, and so they were there. We've heard about the centurion, right? And he's well known. But there were probably other soldiers there. And it just came to me that their names were Clem and Hank. And if you could just use your sanctified imagination, I'd like to share with you something like maybe could have happened then.
Ooh-wee! Oh, I really work up a sweat watching them guys carrying those crosses up to Golgotha. Yep. These insurrectionists, these criminals carrying their crosses all the way up that hill. Whew. It makes me tired just thinking about it. Hank, hand me some of that kombucha that your wife makes. Yeah. Wow, I see she's even got her own label now. Okay. It's even sealed. Look at that. This is the good stuff. It's powerful. Mm. She makes the best kombucha in the entire empire. It just has that right, nice bite to it. Mm. I can't stand that pig swill that I drink, the stuff that I make. No, I don't know. Hank, I don't know what pig swill tastes like. I just know that it probably tastes better than the stuff I make. You know, one of these days I'm going to settle down and get myself a wife, and she has to have one redeeming quality. She knows how to brew up a good batch of kombucha. Hank, did you hear that? I could barely make it out. But Jesus of Nazareth up there on the cross, you know, the so-called king of the Jews, he just said he's thirsty. He's watching me drink that kombucha. Hey, go get over there and get one of them hyssop branches. Yeah, that one. The one, the two-foot one. Yeah, bring it over here. Now, get that fancy sponge that you have and dip it into that jar of hyssop that your wife made. Yeah, fill it up. I know we're not supposed to give comfort to the enemy, but there's just something about this guy that's different. Just put it on the end of your stick and raise it up to him. And yeah, there you go. Now, wipe it around his lips. They're probably dried and cracked, and that hyssop will help him too. That'll give him a little help to his throat. And it's bitter, but it will help him. I don't know what it is about this guy. He's so different. But I've never seen anybody suffer as much as he did and not say a word. That's why when I saw Simon of Cyrene, I made him carry Jesus' cross for a while. See, by now, Hank, what has it been? 6 hours. 6 hours he's been up there. Yeah. Now, let him drink a little of that. Yeah, there he is. There he is. See? I bet that feels good. You know, Hank, Jesus is the only man that we have crucified that didn't fight us when we drove the nails into his hands. It's like he just gave himself to us. And he's just not like those usual criminals and thieves and scum that we crucify. Something tells me they've convicted the wrong guy here. You know what's kind of funny? Well, not funny, ha-ha funny, but what's strange is I hear tale that people have said that this Jesus, that he can give you living water that springs up inside of you, and you'll never be thirsty again. Now, I feel kind of like for the guy because, you know, here he is saying, you'll never thirst again. And that living water, I bet, tastes better than your wife's kombucha. What's that, Hank? Yeah. I know.
I get too wrapped up in my work. Just can't stop thinking about this guy. It's like he said, I give you living water, and now he's thirsty. It's like he's given every drop until he's empty. Now, here he is. He's helped so many people, and who's here with him? Clem and Hank. This is getting to me. I gotta find a new line of work. Turn over a new leaf. Start again somehow. Hey, give me some more of that kombucha, will you? I'd give everything for some of that water of life. Never thirst again. Sounds pretty good right about now.
As pastors, sometimes we wonder and maybe struggle a bit to consider, how do we make familiar words become fresh? And we ask the Lord to make these words absolutely life-changing and transformative in us, because we know He did it for you and for me. In John 19:30, it said, "So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit, his spirit." Now we know, many of us know, that the sixth word, therefore, that Jesus spoke from the cross was the single Greek word tetelestai. Papyri receipts for taxes have been recovered from ancient days with tetelestai, meaning paid in full across the top. It is finished, paid in full. They've also found business documents on receipts that bills were paid in full, marked tetelestai. Now, by the way, when Jesus said "it is finished," he did not say "I am finished." He said "it is finished." And he meant the redemptive work that his Father had sent for him to do for you and me was complete. He became sin for us. And he suffered the penalty of God's justice, which our sin deserved. Nothing more to add. Nothing more to be done by God or man. It is finished. The eternal debt that our sins created, paid for. The Father looked on His Son and saw your sin and mine. The Bible tells us very quickly, very easily, sin separates us from God. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, no taking away of that sin. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. And now he says, "It is finished." The sin debt I owed to God was paid in full by my Jesus. And if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, He paid that sin debt for you. And now it's time for you to be able to receive what He has done. An artist finishes his work, the painting, the work in clay, whatever he might do, and he could say, "Tetelestai, it's finished." A servant could say, "I've done the work my master called me to do. Tetelestai, it's done, it's finished, it's complete." The judge, when the sentence was fulfilled, would write across a receipt or a statement, "Tetelestai, it's done. The sentence has been paid in full." And the priest sees an unblemished lamb in the olden days that could be sacrificed before the Father. And when he saw that unblemished lamb, the best one he could find, it was tetelestai. It was complete. The soldiers, as you may know, came in. The conquering general would ride in on horseback, if you will, into the city. And he would parade those he'd conquered right in front of him. And the crowds cheered out, "Tetelestai, tetelestai, it's done, it's complete, the battle is won, the victory is gained, it's done." the shame for your sin and mine. He took it. That which we couldn't do for ourselves, and we still can't do, He did. And He said, "It is finished."
Luke 23, verse 46, out of the King James Version. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." He cried with a loud voice. Strong's defines loud as mega, exceedingly great, mighty and strong, not a wimpy voice. He knew what He had done, and He declared it boldly. And He commended His spirit. Strong defines commended as to present, to deposit, to put forth, to commit the keeping of, or to trust for protection. He trusted His spirit to His Father, and He gave up the ghost. He expired. I love the New Living Translation. It says this way: "Then Jesus shouted, 'Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands.' And with those words, He breathed His last." And the New Passion says it this way: "Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Father, I surrender my spirit into your hands.' And He took His last breath and died." I love that. He surrendered His spirit. The last thing that Jesus did on this earth was to have intimate communion with His Heavenly Father. Relationship. Relationship. Father. He called Him Father. Father. And that's what this is all about. And it's for you, and it's for me. He did that. He made that relationship for you and I possible because of His surrendering and His sacrifice. Do you have that intimate relationship with the Father God? Jesus died so that precious relationship could be restored for you and for me. If you have it, rejoice. Hallelujah. If you don't have it, come to Jesus tonight and get it.
Amen.
Amen. Get into that relationship. Get into that community. It's wonderful. The kingdom of God is worth pursuing. If you have it, share it with others. Let them know it's available for them as they surrender their lives to our precious Savior. And that's exactly what He is. Our precious Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody in this room, take your hand and put it to your lips, and you're going to blow Him a kiss for what He did. Amen. Now He's happy. Amen.
I love you because you first loved me. Gentlemen, would you come? Pastor Brent and Pastor Ron, Pastor Sherry, would you come on up here? Join us up here. Now, we're going to have a time of refreshments. Pastor Sherry can share that. We invite you to remain. We know that as we go into this very beautiful weekend, we celebrate on Sunday morning. And I'm sure that every pastor in the room would love to come up, grab the mic, say, "Come to my church." The reason we are here together. By the way, let's do something else. Would you all sit down for a moment? Would you, if you have been or are a pastor, a chaplain, a ministry leader, would you please stand in this congregational gathering here tonight? Please stand. Now, what you have in front of you here tonight is a testimony. We do this because we believe that we have this like precious faith in Jesus Christ. And as a community of believers, we don't stand in competition, but we stand to help usher in the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we stand here with all of you to celebrate the love of God. So we bless you. Thank you all for being here. And we are grateful that we're not just in this together. We're friends. And we love you guys. Happy Easter to everyone. But what a celebration we get to enjoy on Good Friday. There really is a good Friday because of what he's done. Do you have any announcements for us, Pastor Sherry? Here.
We received in the offering tonight $518 for the food bank.
Great job. Thank you.
That's great.
We wish you a very precious Easter together, and we bless you in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for, again, this time we've had together. Bless each one who's come. And Father, as we come in, we go out another way, more like you than ever before. And our hearts are prepared to celebrate resurrection. And we are so grateful, Jesus. But tonight, as we pause, we give thanks especially for what you've done for us on the cross of Calvary. We love you, Jesus. We all love you together in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. To your refreshments, O Israel.
Yes, enjoy.
Amen.